pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Koch.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Plocher.
Here.
Nashewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? Okay, we do have several employee appreciation of service awards to give out tonight. We have two officers and two from Public Works. So if officers Jacob and Davis wanted to come forward. And Chief, do you want to do them separately, together? How do you want to do it?
We can do it together.
Okay.
He was awarded certificates of appreciation by the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists for his number of DUIs and arrests in New York over those years. He received a commendation from the Plano Police Department in August of 2016 for his quick response and assistance on a personal gun call. He is also trained as an evidence technician and assists the documentation of crimes. And Officer Kyle Davis joined the Yorkville Police Department in December of 2013. He came to Yorkville PD with an associate's degree in criminal justice and was a former full-time officer for the Mendota Police Department. In May of 2014, he received a commendation from the supervisor for going above and beyond his normal duties in his response to a suspicious vehicle complaint, which resulted in finding and seizing of over 40 grams of cannabis, paraphernalia, and drug equipment, leading to two Class 4 felony arrests.
And thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. And we have a couple of certificates here for you that I would like to read. So, certificate of recognition, the Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville present this certificate to Chris Jacob in grateful appreciation for your 5 years of service and dedication to the United City of Yorkville from 2013 to 2018. Thank you. Presented this 11th day of December, 2018. Officer Davis here says the same thing, except the Kyle Davis.
Appreciate it. Of us that have made it 20 years or more.
So, congratulations. Matt came to us in the 90s, believe that. It was a time when Yorkville, he was one of two people in the entire street department. So he's seen the town grow from, well, growing up here, you've seen it go from 2,000 to 20,000. Matt is in our street department, and Matt's specialty is MUTCD and signs. So that's who we look to for all of our street signs, all of our regulatory signs. This is the guy we go to in when we need a recommendation. Besides that, he's been a very instrumental part of our street department for 20 years. Plowing, he assists on water main breaks, he assists in the sewer department. At Public Works, we kind of have to do everything, and for 20 years, you've done just that, and I appreciate that, man. I really do. And Matt lives here in town, grew up here in town, and hopefully has a much longer career here in town. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you, gentlemen, very much. I know sometimes Public Works doesn't get the recognition that maybe the police do, but without you guys, our toilet's still flush, and our streets aren't clean. Certificate of recognition for you, the Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville, present this certificate to Thomas Solke in grateful appreciation of your 5 years of service and dedication to the United City of Yorkville from 2013 to 2018. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Matt.
Well, yeah.
We have a big prize for you. In grateful appreciation for your 20 years of service, of dedicated service to the United City of Yorkville, Matt Singh, 98 through
2018.
Did you
want
to take any pictures? Anyone?
There
you go. Okay. All right. I do have one more presentation that I added at the last minute. I do have an Eagle Scout here that I would like to recognize. And before I call our Eagle Scout up, I would like to read to you, as I do with every Eagle Scout, the significance of the Eagle Scout rank. The Webster's Dictionary describes an eagle as a large bird of prey with sharp vision and powerful wings, famous for their strength, size, grace, and keen vision. It is a national emblem for the United States. Though the eagle is found throughout the world, it is never found in abundance. It is always rare and is always a superb specimen. In scouting, the eagle stands for strength of character and for knowledge of all phases of scouting. The eagle represents an understanding of community and nation and a deep respect for both. The eagle is a symbol of what a young man has done as well as what that young man will do and will be when he grows to manhood. The eagle is a leader. The eagle is respected both by his peers and by his adult leaders. The Eagle Scout Award is the highest award available to youth members of the Boy Scouts of America. It represents many years of dedicated effort and the successful completion of a long process which starts when a young man becomes a Boy Scout. It is a demonstration of how people working together can truly help mold a young man with a solid sense of leadership, citizenship, and responsibility. Not every boy, nor every scout, qualifies for the high rank of Eagle. The physical requirements are strenuous, as set forth in the required merit badges. Mental requirements are unusual and require much more than average intelligence. Perhaps an even more difficult and more important requirement for the Eagle rank is the personal character of the Scout as reflected in his attitudes toward God and the ideals of Scouting, as reflected in his cooperation and service to others in church, the home, school, and community. The applicant must have a high degree of the spirit of cheerful service to others, which is the basis of good citizenship. The attainment of the Eagle Scout rank is indeed the highest honor that a Scout may achieve. When a boy enters scouting, in the three parts of the scout oath, he promises bond his honor to do his best to do his duty, first to God and his country, second to other people by helping them at all times, and third to himself by keeping himself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Likewise, in the scout law, he promises to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Each is an important foundation in the building of strong character. An Eagle Scout is one who has taken the Scout oath and law to which he has promised and embodied them within his character. The oath and law have become part of him. They guide and direct him. Very few scouts make it this far, only about 2% of all scouts, and it is a great achievement for all parties involved, the scout, his family, his community, his unit, and the Boy Scouts of America. Awarding the Eagle is an important and serious matter. It is a climax, a goal toward which the scout has been working for many years. It is a culmination of the efforts of the parents and leaders of this scout. It is definitely an occasion for pride and for joy. So Tyler Mittendorf, please come forward. Tyler is one of the scouts that I've known since I joined Troop 40. So I've seen Tyler grow up from when he presented scouts to the Eagle Scout that he is today. So I'm very proud of you, Tyler. And I know you had a big Eagle project. I know you worked on the chaplain on the green, correct?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so earlier this year I led about a dozen people in painting the ceiling and replacing a few of the wire damaged tiles on the topmost floor of the chaplain on the green. It was a lot of fun.
How many volunteers did you have?
Yeah, 100 or so.
Yeah, so I know it was a lot of work, and I know it is our oldest church, so I know that they definitely appreciate your efforts. On behalf of the city, Tyler, we'd like to present you with an Eagle Scout plaque, and we're still waiting for your great plate to come in, so I'll give that to you, the troop needed. So, on behalf of the city of York, Tyler. Keep up the good work. We expect big things out of it. How many Eagle Scouts do we have in the room? I know there's at least one more sitting in the audience. There's three of us here. Okay. World could always use more Eagle Scouts. Okay, on to regular business. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Abstain.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, I did skip over citizen comments on items that are on the agenda. Is there anyone here who has comments other than the solar firm? Because we'll do that right before we get to the solar farm. Any other citizen comments? Okay. If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the special city council meeting of November 10th, 2018, and the regular city council meetings of November 13th, 2018, and November 27th, 2018, as presented.
Second.
Did you still move? And who seconded?
Motion second.
Thank you.
You gotta be louder than that to yourself.
Motion.
There you go. Any comments, questions, or corrections on the minute? All those in favor of approving minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the meeting schedule for 2019 as presented.
Second.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
You seconded Alderman Frieders?
Need to pick somebody.
Peterson?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving a revised salary schedule and step increase and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, we have no committee reports, nothing from Park Board, one item on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance approving a special use for a solar farm with freestanding solar energy systems and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions? I know, Dan, I'm sure you have some things you want to say. If any members of the audience Have any comments? Now would be the appropriate time, maybe before Dean.
Good evening. Dan Kramer on behalf of the petitioner Jeremy Solar and then Kendall County. We have the representatives from Kendall County here tonight, and we also have Eric Peterman. I understand you'd like to see a brief presentation. We went through public hearing and planning commission last month, got a unanimous vote. We also spent two private meetings that we invited the city and the county board members, but indicated be careful about open meetings violation, about how many would attend. One was with the board for the subdivision, and then the second one was open to the membership of the subdivision behind this Blackberry Woods. At the membership meeting, we had a little bit over 30 people there. And at the Plan Commission public hearing, which was the next night, it got reduced down to, I believe, 9 residents showed up. 2 testified in favor of the project, and I think that was very significant to point out if you didn't read the transcript of the Plan Commission, because they were the 2 owners who owned houses right backing up to where the solar array would be placed. We did have one person speaking an objection, and then one person asking questions, the rest didn't testify. So I'll be quiet, because we promised to keep it for 10 minutes as far as the presentation, and I'll let Eric give you the technical, because he's way more qualified than I. Thank you.
Non-metallic, non-toxic materials. That's the electrons limits the energy that's created. The racking structure, you can see there's one post that will sit in the ground, and then it comes up and supports the structure above. This actually is a tracker system, so the solar panels actually move throughout the day to follow the track of the sun. It makes it a more efficient system. So you can see this is one of the motors that will rotate the solar panel throughout the day from the east in the morning to the west in the evening. This is a picture of an inverter. It's not very exciting. It's a white box, but inside of it is about a world of magic happens with the electronics. So you can see some of the guts here. There's different terminals that are located here where those leads of the solar panels are connected. And then there's capacitors and resistors, which end up changing the DC to AC current, and then that's what's pushed into the service panel. The topic of sound came up throughout the meetings, and to set a level playing field, here's just a normal chart of decibel levels. So this was just a basic chart just to get an idea of what the numeric value of a decibel is. So in a quiet rural area, you might see about 30 decibels if you're taking measurements. A normal conversation, like my voice right now, might be about 60 decibels. And as you get further to the right, you can see a car horn or a jet takeoff is where it gets into the, you know, the triple digits of decibel levels. So just to give you a reference number. As we go on, the solar panels themselves, as they create the energy, they produce zero noise, zero decibels. So there's no noise that comes out of the solar panels. For the tracker system, since there is a motor that's going to move the solar panels from the east to the west, that was recorded at about 50 decibels, standing 10 feet away. So if we go back to the chart, that would be in between a library whisper and a refrigerator, so it's going to be a very soft noise. The other important thing to note is that the motors actually only run they run at 15-second intervals, but they only kick on every 10 minutes. So it's not like you're going to run the motor the entire course of the day. It's only in 10-minute intervals and in 10-minute increments and 15-second intervals, and only during the day while the sun is shining, not at night when there's no sun. Next would be the inverters. So here's a couple pictures of the inverter box and then some decibel readings from that. So the reason why there's noise coming from the inverter is that there's fans inside that keep the electronics cool. Just like Christy's computer that's sitting on the desk here has a CPU fan inside that keeps the electronics cool inside that machine. So the fan that's running is really what's producing the noise coming out of the inverter. And as we're standing, I believe this is about 5 feet away from the inverter, you can see it's at all of these are right in the 60 decibel range, which, again, is normal conversation like my voice you can hear right now. We actually took some videos of an existing solar array, and this is one that's functioning right now. And those decibel readings that I just showed you on the previous slide, these are all videos. They didn't work last time, so I'm not going to bother with them right now. Hopefully we can get past the slide. There we go. Now, this was another video of walking through the solar field. We played this so that the residents could have a better understanding of what it's like inside the solar field. So we walked through. This is about, I think, a 30, 45-second clip of just live action walking through the solar field. So we were able to provide that. EMF study, so the electromagnetic force that's given off, just like cell phones and laptops and everything else in this world that gives off the EMF. So the electric power system, which would be a solar energy system, is actually located at the far left, which would be extremely low frequency. And as we move further to the right, you'll see cell phone, satellite dish, and are in the radio waves category. Moving further to the right, infrared, ultra-red. Ultraviolet, and then your X-ray medical devices to the far right where it would be considered dangerous. So, as I mentioned, the key point of solar is on the far left. So here's an aerial view of the location of the array. You might know the courthouse and the sheriff's office. The solar array plan for this 7-acre plot of land right here. And what's important to note is that we actually changed this, but the location of the inverters and the tracking motors are going to be run down the center of the array. so as to move it as far away as possible from the nearby residents. And so you can see there's this number is probably closer to 400 feet, but there's at least 300 feet between where the inverters and the motors are located and where the nearest house would be located. And once you get beyond 25 feet from the, it's definitely, it starts to fade at 10, but definitely at 25, you're not going to be able to hear any noise from the inverters or the motors at all. So the fact that the nearest home is over 300 feet away, there should be no cause for concern with noise or anything coming from the system itself. And as I mentioned, the solar panels don't make any noise. It's really just the inverters and the motor. The landscape layout, this was done by HLR engineering firm. This is on the southern border, and there's some detail here. This has all been provided in the plan set, but there's some detail here laid out for the southern boundary of the solar array, which would be the boundary in between the Kendall County property and the residents on the south side. Here's a look of what that could possibly look like. So you get a visual of what that is. There's actually a fence behind here as well, an opaque fence, so you won't be able to see anything behind that. So you've got the landscape plan, you've got the fence, and then you've got the solar array behind it, but standing at ground level, you'll never know that what's on the other side of that fence. You won't be able to see any solar panels or anything else behind the fence. The topic of the conversation came up throughout the meetings. If solar doesn't go in here, what could, or what are the plans in this space? Right now, it's just a temporary holding place for a lot of trees, which were not meant to be there for a long period of time. So something is going to be developed on this plot of land. The Kendall County owns it, and what was discussed was potential expansion for office buildings, potential expansion of the jail. They're not exactly sure what would go in, but right now they're pretty set on moving forward with the solar project. So this was an excerpt from the 20-year capital improvement plan that were other topics of discussion for what might go in this place. One of the questions that came up is, with the solar array being located so close to a residential neighborhood, what would that do to property values? And we actually were very fortunate to have this exact study address that question. And most of the times, because solar is so new, you're not going to find too much data or too much relevance in the Midwest. There's been a lot of development on both the East and West Coasts. But this study is specifically from the Midwest, and the product's in Illinois and Indiana. So it's directly applicable to our geographic location here in the Midwest. And it shows that the feet from the solar panel to the lot, you can see some of these are in the 83 feet range, the 300 foot, 160 foot. So this is specifically targeted at a large solar array next to a residential neighborhood. These solar products are actually much larger than what we're proposing. On some scales, 10 times larger than what we're proposing. And the results from the study show, as you can see on the far right, no impact is the official result. But the number here is actually home values went up by almost 2% with the solar array being located next to it. Some of these questions were answered throughout the presentation. The property values were discussed. There's no harmful chemicals emitted. There's nothing emitted from the solar panels once they're in operation. Glare, we discussed previous meetings. The solar panels are meant to absorb light, not to reflect it. If there were any glare, it would go to the east and the west of the system. Nothing would go to the south where the residential neighborhood is. And everything's going to be enclosed by a fence as well. We talked about radiation. This is actually a picture from an elementary school that we did in Northwest Indiana, where they actually built the array on their campus. They're building it into the educational curriculum for the school. You can see the students out being taught, and there's actually the kids can go out and test the voltages. Everything's safe. You can touch the solar panels, you can touch the racking equipment, and they get a chance to do different experiments on what the shade do to the solar panels and how much does that affect the efficiency of the output. So it's something that's obviously proven to be safe for educational curriculum. Site maintenance, care of. We want the system to be functioning at its most potential as well. Other products that we've done, this was just brought up throughout the process from staff. We're one of the largest solar installers in Illinois. We were awarded that by Solar Power World magazine. You can see some of our other products that we've done here. This was an airport that we did up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We've done large school systems, and we've got several other products in works for development in Illinois throughout the coming season as well. This is just a slide showing support from environmental groups. So if there's any concern for solar panels being harmful to the environment, you've got folks like Sierra Club, National Geographic, the Department of Energy. All of these folks are in support of solar and have come out in support of solar. In fact, on the EPA campus, they actually have a solar array that is almost identical in size to the solar array being proposed here in Yorkville. So I think it goes to show you that the EPA is comfortable putting solar on the property, which shouldn't be any concern for being in the neighborhood. And this was just a summary of next steps. So a couple of the key items, like we've mentioned, that they'll only be closer than 300 feet from the nearest inverter or racking system. Inverters only operate during the day, nothing at night, only when the sun's shining. Emitted sound will be just within 10 or 25 feet of the inverters and the racking system, or I'm sorry, the tracker, the motor. Field will be regularly maintained by GRE Solar. The property value study showed that living near a solar panel system has been rigorously tested, and there's been no correlation between health concerns. We talked about the property value study as well, that there was a slight increase to no impact. I think everything else was covered here. And one thing also I'll just mention is the urgency on timing for this. I know this has been a long process and a long time in the making. This is a different scenario as well. I know there was a previous solar project that came through, which ended up rescinding the application. That was, I believe it was a community solar project. Community solar is where you can pick a plot of land anywhere and give the energy to ComEd and then benefit from as the developer. So you can pick any plot of land anywhere, give it to ComEd, and get paid. This is different to where this is what's called behind the meter. So Kendall County is putting this on their property to directly reduce their energy bills. They're not selling to ComEd. They're not, paying in that way. Their main purpose and motivation behind the product is to reduce their operating costs, which in turn, obviously, is helpful for the taxpayer as well. And Chris Childers from Progressive Energy might talk also if you'd like, and he can talk about the financial benefits. This product is supposed to save the taxpayers about $4 million over the life of the system, which is a 25-year term. The importance of the incentives is that come early January, there's a lot of solar development in the works right now, and there's funding, incentive funding, from the utility companies and the state that are going to be distributed in Q1 of next year. The application process opens January 15. There's been discussion of there's more products than there is money available. So getting in on that January 15 opening date is very key to be first in line to be able to receive the funding needed to support the product. So that's one urgency that I just wanted to make sure was clear. And then assuming that everything gets approved and the incentives are awarded and funded for the product, the construction wouldn't begin until probably April, May of next year. So we're still a ways out in terms of the planning and development portions. But in order to hit the January 15th, it is key to move forward. So I know that was quick. I ran through it to try and save time. But if there's questions, I'm happy to answer those as well, or if there's anything else. But I appreciate your time and your consideration for this project.
Thank you, Eric. First off, I definitely have to commend you guys on working with the neighbors. The fact that nobody is here to speak in opposition to this project speaks volumes in my mind. Good work there. But obviously, my biggest concern is for neighbors. I know the sheriff had a concern about the fencing, but it sounds like all that's been alleviated.
Yeah, it's been great communication along the way. input. We've had multiple inputs from different parties, and we've done our best to try to accommodate all of those requests. So there's been a lot of changes along the way as well.
Now, is this one of the actual panels that's going to be going on?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I forgot Mr. Stanton behind me. This is actually a solar panel, so you can come up and touch it if you like. This is all safe. Like I said, it's aluminum frame around it. It's plastic, just like your windshield, which protects the technology inside. But this, you can see, it's just a little bit shorter than I am and a little bit wider than my frame also. But usually it's about 3 1/4 feet wide and about 5 or 6 feet tall. But this is, this is an actual solar panel. I'll flip it around so you can see the back of the leads. The wires that come off that will then plug in, they create the distribution of the energy into the electric grid.
Now, is this, this technology is still pretty much in its infancy, I would say. Is this technology changing? I mean, is a panel like this going to go obsolete anytime soon? Or, I mean, do you foresee these panels being the same for the next 25 years?
Yes, yeah, so the manufacturers, they warranty the panel's production for 25 years. So there certainly will be increase in technology development that will make more efficient panels, but the production for this specific solar panel is guaranteed by the manufacturer for 25 years. So if it ever continues or ever stops working, it's covered under warranty to be replaced. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I was more interested in how the technology is changing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like in the future, are we going to see these giant solar farms like this, or do you think something else will come along?
It's hard to tell. You know, there's been a lot of development. I'd say 5 or 10 years ago was really when things ramped up. And as I mentioned, the West Coast and the East Coast, we've seen a lot of development. And things have kind of plateaued a little bit recently in terms of the square footage of the panel is about the same. You know, there's two sizes, a 60 cell and a 72 cell. That's pretty typical throughout all manufacturers. The module efficiency and the power output, I think, continues to kind of slowly get more efficient, but we haven't seen any big leaps or jumps in the past 5 or 7 years. So it's kind of plateaued a little bit, and we'll see what happens from here. It's hard to have a crystal ball, but you know, with the manufacturer warranting it for 25 years, we feel good about the longevity of the system.
And manufacturer probably in China, I would imagine? Or?
About 90% of all modules in production are from overseas. There are some other countries that produce modules, America being one of them, but not a significant player in the market. The manufacturer is overseas, but we've installed tens of thousands of solar panels, and I think we've had 2 go bad in our 8 years of installing these.
Any questions?
What was the decision with the sheriff as far as the fencing?
When I talked to him, he said he was fine with the solid fence and camera. And I guess the other question, I know the dialysis center wanted some additional landscaping. Did that get resolved? Or, I mean, obviously they're not here to look at.
Well, I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Here I am.
Okay.
We have not spoken with them direct. We did get a call from Christy and Jason, and they got emails to us from your staff saying that the dialysis center would like to see the same type of landscaping and solid fence on the west of the project as is going. So we told staff we were fine with that, so I apologize. We didn't know who you were before the meeting, but yes, we have agreed to that.
So you are going to landscape it at the bar itself?
It will be the exact same on the west as it is in the south. It's the south fence of the trees.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm not fighting after fires. Sit it off.
See, we can be easy at times.
So I also believe there's a commercial spot the city has in between their center and this, right? Isn't there a possibility that commercial buildings could also go in between?
There's a lot there, yeah.
Yeah. So technically someone could put some type of commercial in there.
Sure.
I had a question. Reading through the packet, this has some type of mechanism that deals with wind, high wind scenarios. You know, we get a lot of very high winds out here. You know, this one. How would these hold up with winds, tornadoes, or hydrobars?
Yeah, if a tornado comes through, it's going to rip it out. You know, that's...
And it's just dealing with, you know, your regular wind gusts.
Yeah, normal regular wind gusts. This is all rated for, I think it's 120 miles per hour, which is all in compliance with the building code. As I mentioned, you're on a tracker, so they'll start off facing the east at the beginning part of the day, and they'll slowly rotate with the sun and start to face the west. If there's ever a time when there's a strong wind gust that would jeopardize the integrity of the racking system, it actually goes back and forth on.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure is that it does do that, because that's a lot of blasts and a lot of...
Yeah, absolutely. It's a backtracking feature to where it goes back and horizontal to protect itself until it's safe. And that's actually where it sits at night in that same position as well.
I'm very happy that we're settled on the 7.5-foot solid vinyl plants all the way around. That, I think, most importantly for the residents to the south side. That works, obviously, from the south of the jail. They have solid fences, wood, but this works. I think the landscape plan, as it's presented, will be on the south side. I know it's been reviewed by our landscape consultant, but it doesn't seem to have a lot of other material to really screen that down. Some areas here we have a grade change, you know, from what's out there, residential and protection. Further west you go, it drops down to grade, so there's a little differential. So on the residential side, they sit a little higher than the
sure.
So that drops down. I'd actually like to see a little more evergreen put into the landscape plan to help that. Evergreen are going to grow faster and help to provide a little more evergreen.
Yeah.
So that'd be my one request, is that we add a little more landscape of an evergreen.
Sure. This is way out of my area of expertise, and I apologize for that. Dan, back up here, but I believe the comments from the citizens or the residents were not the evergreens, but I just want to make sure that we're taking in all feedback. Maybe I know you're a little
They seem to like the deciduous trees better, frankly, but we'll work with staff.
I did talk to a couple, but they may not have been ones. You know, I know there were the two that looked right.
Yeah, that was really helpful to have that.
Yeah, if you don't live right up there, and I know there's still some lots that are there, not there. They, of course, the other ones that were a little further in, or a couple that I mentioned, is like more, but I'm going to have to give that to those who have, who live next to it currently.
Well, and one other failsafe, we did speak with the developer who owns the two lots that aren't there yet, and he had absolutely no objection, was fine with the landscape plan as well.
And it will be 7.5 as given as to be.
Yep, correct.
I just had another question on what Chris just mentioned. So if something was to happen with these panels, where is the liability, insurance, or whatever? Is that going to fall on the county? Are we going to have to be covered on something too?
Well, number one, it's on county property, so they're the owner and it's a lease. One of the requirements of the written agreement that was approved between the county and GR&E is they have to provide liability insurance and name the county as a party insurer. And I thought Christy and Jason had a good idea when we met with them informally, or I did about 2 weeks ago, and that is attach a copy of the lease agreement between the county and GR&E as an exhibit to the ordinance. And there is a decommissioning plan right in the agreement. So the liability is strictly with GR&E indemnifying the county. I don't think you would need to be added as additional party insured because, again, you have no liability on it.
That was just my question. I didn't know if we were quickly out of that and something happened.
Did planning and zoning ask for, did they ask for a bond or something? Or
yes. That's required for a permit that you have a decommissioning and a bond in place. So that protects us.
Just a couple points of clarification before we get too much further down the road. One, the lease agreement is not listed as an exhibit in the current draft ordinance, so we wanted that to be a requirement of it to the extent the city council does. We would have to add it. And then two, the discussion on the western boundary landscaping that the petitioner just represented that they would do is also not reflected in the conditions that are listed in the ordinance. So to the extent that the city council said it's a necessary component of a special use permit, we would need to amend the ordinance in that manner.
Having a copy of the lease doesn't grant us any rights or lack thereof. So we would ask that you document share it with us so we can put it in our file with this ordinance. However, the second point that you raised is crucial, that statement with regard to the landscaping, because that exceeds what had previously put in writing, should be added to this ordinance. So, Christine, if you know exactly what it is, and you would share with us the language now, we will ask that the ordinance as presented be considered with that language.
A continuation of the landscaping from the south boundary to the west boundary, along the fence line.
Section 3C of the ordinance does contemplate the landscape plan as submitted as of October 29th, so that's probably where we would amend the ordinance to include the western boundary.
So we haven't moved this ordinance yet. So if we amend it now, we can then consider it. It would be additional.
Let's amend that we need a motion to amend the ordinance.
No, because we haven't put the ordinance on it. Please continue. Right. So, and continuation?
Continuation of the landscaping along the southern border to the western border along the west line.
Along the southern border to the western border. So what would be put into motion would include that language.
Sure, in motion and second.
I apologize.
Yeah. Right to start.
In which case, I concur. You are right.
Did you make that one?
Please, would you make a motion to amend the language, sir?
I made a motion to amend the motion as represented by Christine.
Second.
Thank you. And we vote on the amendment.
On the amendment to vote.
So, roll call vote on the amendment.
Coke?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Klosinger?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, back to the original amendment. Any other questions? And Chris, thank you. That is what I was looking for. So I was just kind of curious how much tax credits were worth, all the rebates, and that pretty much sums it up.
I knew that's where you're going. Looking for the money.
Yeah. Well, I'm always, what is great to say the zero cost taxpayer, so yes and no, you know.
Yeah. I just have one question about the maintenance of the turf. How one is going to be the turf within inside the fence, and how it's going to be maintained?
I believe they're showing Volvo Vestview under, because one of the issues was your ordinance had them really close to the ground where you couldn't maintain anything, and so they raised up a little bit here. So, yeah.
Staff, that's going to. I know the other one that was proposed, they were talking more wildflower, natural.
Yeah,
but this will just be a little best view, twice a year mow type of thing.
Right, stay down, not tight.
That works for me.
Yeah, Eric, I just have one question, more out of curiosity. And I'm sure it's been answered in previous meetings. But how much energy will this provide to the county complex? I mean, is it going to power half a building, whole building, three buildings?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, the one solar array that you saw is actually split into three separate buildings. So the health department, the courthouse, and the public safety office. So it's the usage is going to three different places, and we sized it appropriately to be able to offset as much as we could at each spot. Christine offhand,
it's a little over half.
A little over half. Yeah, when you combine everything together, so it's going to three separate places, but it's about half of what the usage is on those three buildings.
Ooh, that's pretty impressive, though. Okay. Anything else? Okay, then we'll take a roll call vote on the amended motion.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Bellissima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Cope?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Good luck getting your grades in the state.
Thank you very much for the time. And as to your first point, Ms. Orr, they do have a copy of the staff of the agreement that gave Christie and Peterson.
Okay, we have no city council report. City clerk's report.
Yes, I would just ask that, if possible, I always want to do the minutes precise and accurate, and it is hard at times because I'm going deaf, I think, moving
what?
Here. And yeah, that I don't hear well, and I don't. So, if whoever's speaking, if you could just speak maybe a little louder and clearer, I'd appreciate it. So, that's all.
Do we have any community or liaison reports? Carrying on any staff reports?
No reports.
Additional business. Did want to mention that myself and the mayors of Oswego, Plano, and Montgomery are going downtown tomorrow to meet with representatives from the RTA. Get some questions answered about what we need to do as far as RTA and bringing that out here. But on the preliminary meeting, there's a lot of questions answered. So we'll follow up with that. Any other additional business? No executive session. Any citizen comments? Anything you'd like to talk about? Tony Scott's leaving us. Have you noticed?
No. We got one more meeting.
One more meeting? Okay. We'll make sure we're ready for citizen comments. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Where's the... What?